helping me out here. So thank you, Trisha. Thank you, Trisha. Awesome. Okay. All right. I won't be offended. Okay. I'm going to start with a game. All right. I'm going to start with a game that most of you know. It's charades. All right. So I want you to guess who I am and what I'm doing. Okay. Who I am. And you could tell your neighbor. Share with your neighbor. What do you think? Okay. All right. Okay, share with your neighbor. Who do you think I am? What do you think I'm doing? Share with your neighbor. All right, the answer is in this scripture right here. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. So God is diligently searching for people, scanning the earth, searching the earth, looking at every single person. He's looking for people who have completely sold out for God, has completely given their hearts to the Lord. And he wants to get fully behind those people. Those whose hearts are completely his, he says, to strongly support them. Don't you want to be strongly supported by God, the Creator, the Almighty? Don't you want to be strongly supported by him? Then we need to have our hearts completely surrendered to him. And that's one of our focuses for 2025 as a church. I shared last week, I shared our vision for 2025, and I believe God has given us this facility and called us as his lights from Matthew 5. As his lights, he has called us to be a city on a hill. Collectively, as we are his lights, this is a picture of a city on a hill. That's what he wants us to be in this community. Collectively, since we are his lights, as we come together to be a city on a hill. And that means several things, which I mentioned last week. Number one, it's a place where people experience God's presence. They come and they could experience the presence of God. Number two, it's a place where people experience God's multi-generational family, that we're together, that we work together, serve together, love together, from the littlest babies to the oldest grandma or grandpa. Number three, it's a place where people experience God's restoration and healing. And like I mentioned, we have amazing, wonderful prayer ministry teams that will spend time with you, pray with you, minister to you, and help you connect with the Lord for your healing and wholeness. And number four, a place where people are blessed and built up to bless and save others. We are blessed not just for ourselves, but to be a blessing to others. And so that's our vision. That's what we believe God has called us here in this facility for. And in order to do that, in order to fulfill God's calling, I believe it starts with wholehearted surrender. Giving our hearts completely to the Lord. I don't know if you knew this, but in the Bible, it mentions heart over 100 times. Some translations even have heart, the word heart in the Bible, about almost close to 1,000 times. So it's really, really important. But what is the biblical view of heart? When the Bible mentions heart, what is it talking about? It's not talking about the organ in our chest that pumps blood, right? It's talking about something spiritual, okay? When the Bible uses heart, it uses it to describe kind of the inner core of who we are as beings, as people. That inner core. It's that spiritual part that contains our emotions, our passions, our desire, our dreams, our loves. That's when the Bible talks about our heart. And you know what? I looked up every single passage multiple times. I looked up and read every single passage that has the word heart in it. Every single passage. And it's very interesting because there's all these expressions attached to the word heart. Here are just some, to name a few. It's a grieved heart, glad, hardened, stubborn, willing, stirred, obstinate, proud, upright, circumcised, bewildered, trembling, fearful, resolved, merry, sad, exulting, changed, failing, troubled, despising, longing, inclined, righteous, upright, understanding, wise, discerning, afflicted, joyful, devoted, devising, prompted, tender, undivided, perfect, set, happy, blameless, and on and on. All these different descriptions of our hearts, of conditions and responses of what our hearts could be going through. As I read through and looked at, there was one verse, one description of heart that kind of stood out to me. And it's from this verse. It's from Psalms 86, 11. You might know there's a worship song, old time, if you're from a little bit older, you might have remembered the worship song associated with this, but Psalm 86, 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me," what? "An undivided heart to revere your name." And so this jumped out to me. This was highlighted to me because I thought, oh, so if our hearts can be divided, if we can have a divided heart, that means that our hearts can have different parts, or our hearts can be devoted to different things, right? There could be, we could have a divided heart. We could have all these different parts of our hearts that are devoted to all these different things. Here are a couple of verses where the Bible speaks about a person that has a divided heart or an admonition against having a divided heart. 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Whoa, that's pretty heavy, right? That's heavy. God says, hey, I demand your whole heart. And if part of your heart loves the things of the world, my love cannot be fulfilled within you. James 4:4, this one's, man. "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So there are things in this world. In fact, most of the things in the world and of the world can take our attention and divide our hearts. And namely, divide our hearts between God and the things of the world. There's things in the world that can command our attention, our devotion, our priority, even our love. And God calls, man, God calls people that go after and are devoted and have their heart divided to the things of the world. He calls them adulteresses. In the Old Testament, the Bible calls the Israelites, when they went after other gods, when they went after other idols, when they went after the things of the world, he calls them prostitutes, calls them harlots. Why does he do that? because he wants your whole heart. He knows the only way you can live the way he designed you to live, the only way you can experience the things that he wants you to experience, the only way you can engage in a relationship with him to experience all that he wants you to experience and know from being in relationship with him is if our hearts are fully devoted to him. And it's as if, and even in a greater way, us going after the things of the world and letting those things grab a hold of our hearts, it's comparable and even in a greater way more so than a married couple who one of the spouses cheats on their spouse. Because the intimacy and depth of relationship that God wants with us is even far greater than the intimacy and connection and love between a husband and a wife. So that's why 1 Kings 8:61 says this, "Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." When we put things like work or money or possessions or hobbies or worries or our comfort or our safety or our phones or even people or family before God, we're being unfaithful to him. You know, last week I shared this example about a married couple that was on their wedding day, right, making their vows to one another. And I've done hundreds of weddings, right? I actually like doing weddings. I enjoy doing weddings. And, you know, I especially like it when I'm up there. And, you know, you see I'm up there and I'm right next to the groom, right? And then there's that dramatic moment when the bride is coming down all dressed in white. And I especially like it when it's like indoors in a church and there's the double doors, right? All the bridesmaids walk in, and then the maid of honor, the flower girl and the ring bearer, they're walking, they're doing something funny, and people are always laughing, right? The kids walk in, and then the doors close. And then I'm there with the groom, and I get to see the groom's face up close and personal at that moment. And I could see the anticipation, but the tension on their face, right? The little beads of sweat coming down. The doors open, right? And there's his bride, right? There's the one he's going to commit to the rest of his life. And I get to see the expression on their face. Well, what if there is a couple, or what if you're married and on your wedding day, you wrote your own vows to each other, And what if this is what your partner said to you as their vows? "I fully commit part of my heart to you." You can have all of that part. That part loves you and will be devoted to you. But there's other parts of my heart that are already reserved and devoted to other things, like work, like my success, like my golf game, like my outfits, or to these other people in my life. But you fully have that part. How would you feel? Would that be acceptable to you? Why do we think then that's acceptable to God? He wants all of you. He loves you that much. He wants all of you. And he won't relent until he has all of your heart. Because he knows that's the best for you. That's the best for you. You know, when I officiate a wedding, there's one part, there's this confirmation of intent, right? And it's, "Will you so-and-so have so-and-so to be your wedded husband or your wife, da-da-da." And we get to the last line of that part. When we get to this line, intentionally, purposely, I look dead into their eyes. When I speak to the groom, I look dead into their eyes, straight into their eyes, not messing around. No smile on my face at that point. Some of you are married. I did that to you. I married many of you. I did that to you, right? The groom, I dead in the bride. I look dead in their eyes, and it's when I say this. And forsaking all others, I said all others, and forsaking all others, give yourself only to him, or give yourself only to her, as long as you both shall live. I stared right into their eyes because I want them to know the vow that they are making before the Lord and before others. It's giving your whole heart to that person. How much more is the Lord worthy, demanding, rightfully deserving of our whole hearts? Wholehearted commitment is what we expect in marriage. Should it be any less for God, our Creator, our Savior, who died for us? Okay, if God wants our whole heart, then how do we give it to him? How do we give him our whole heart? So I'm going to give you real quick to go through this three-step process. Number one, first step, giving your whole heart to God. See if your heart is divided between people, issues, or things above God. Okay, so you have to do a diagnostic, right? When you go to take your car in, you have to have it diagnosed. You go to a doctor, you have to have a diagnostic. You have to go through a diagnosis. Is my heart divided? Are there things in my life? Are there things in my heart that I have put above or unwittingly has crept in to take place in my heart above God? Right? We have to do a diagnosis. So how do we do a diagnosis of that? Well, one, you could just think and meditate, think about your life. Number two, ask God. Ask God. You know, husbands, let me give you a little tip here. Husbands, if you want to really know how you're doing as a husband in your marriage, there's only one thing, person you need to ask. You just ask your spouse. You just ask your spouse. Come on, Todd, be humble. Don't be prideful, Todd. I heard you say nope, nope. Your wife is the barometer of your marriage. If you want to know, if you honestly want to know, you just ask, how am I doing as a husband? Anything I need to improve? They will tell you. They will tell you. Believe me, they will tell you, and they know, right? If you want to know how you're doing, if there's any place in your heart that has priority over the Lord, you just ask the Lord. Just ask the Lord to reveal it to you. 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord, look at this, the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. The Lord knows it all. The Lord knows our hearts. The Lord knows our thoughts. The Lord knows our intentions. He knows the areas of our hearts and of our lives that are divided before him. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. We're going to do that right now. We're going to just take a minute, and we're going to do that right now. And if you don't want to do that, if you are unwilling to do that, like Todd jokingly said with this about DM, if you are unwilling to do that or you don't want to do that, that in itself is revealing. That in itself is revealing. Why don't you? Because there's probably something in your heart that you're hiding or that you know is not fully given over to the Lord. Okay, so we're going to just take a minute right now. And in this time, I want you to actually sit and in your heart, in your mind, just ask the Lord, I give you permission search my heart. You know everything that's in there. So if there is something in my life, a person or a thing or an activity or an object, if there's something in my life that I put above you, would you reveal it to me now? Okay? Okay, so we're going to take a minute and do that, Lord, as we go before you right now. Thank you that you love us so much and you love us enough that you will reveal to us if there are things in our hearts that are taking our attention and priority away from you. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and right now search our hearts and reveal it to our minds so that we can be more wholeheartedly devoted to you. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if you need more time to do that at home, you could go ahead and do that at home. You could do that when you're driving in the car, whatever. But that's the first thing, diagnosis. Identify those areas in our lives. Ask God to search our hearts. Number two, identify one of the areas to focus on surrendering. Have you ever seen, maybe it's been a long time, but have you ever been seeing on a TV or went and perceived went to a circus where they have the lion tamers? And you know, I always thought it was funny. There's this lion tamer, there's this big ferocious lion, and this lion tamer, all he has is a stool and a little whip, right? It's like, that's really going to stop the lion if he wants to attack you. And I was wondering, the lion tamer has a stool? Usually it has like four legs. Is when the lion tamer puts that stool in front of the lion is trying to focus, and when it sees the four different legs, it gets confused. It gets overwhelmed because it doesn't know which leg to focus on. And that lack of focus paralyzes the lion, right? Paralyzes the lion. That's what it's meaning. Becoming wholehearted in your relationship with the Lord, it takes focus. You have to be intentional. It doesn't just happen automatically. I remember when I was in college, I asked, this is 40 years ago now, I asked a pastor who I respected, I asked this pastor about the Christian life. And I said, and we were just sitting down, it's a kind of quiet moment. I said, what is the best way for me to grow with God? What advice would you give to me? And he said, this is 40 years ago, and I still remember, he said, well, you know, he goes, the way I look at it is life is like a pie. Kind of reminds me of Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates, right? He goes, life is like a pie. It has all of these slices. And he says, for me, it's too overwhelming, too much to try to eat the whole pie. You just have to take one slice at a time. And I'll always remember that. I always remember that 40 years later. And so in terms of devoting your whole heart to the Lord, just focus on one slice. Okay, God, you've revealed this is one slice that I want it to be devoted to you. Okay, so after you ask the Lord to search your hearts, just identify one area that you feel like the Lord is calling you to be devoted to him. That maybe it's got out of alignment, out of whack, got elevated above God. What's that one area? It could be work, money, position, whatever, okay? Finally, third, then it's take one concrete action that represents surrendering that area to God. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6, you shall love the Lord. This is not a suggestion. This is not a recommendation, right? This is a command of the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. The only way to do this is for us to be intentional and focused. So ask the Lord to search your heart. Reveal areas. Choose one of those areas. This is the one I think the Lord wants me to work on devoting to him. And then what is one thing you can do? What is one action step you can do? Because if you're not living it out and it's not impacting your life, what good is it? It's just theory in your head, right? It's like faith without works. And so what is that one thing? This is something we're going to focus on this year, 2025. Wholehearted surrender to the Lord. You know, my wife, Dale, she loves Hallmark movies. She loves Hallmark movies. And, you know, don't tell anyone, I kind of like them too. We watch them together. I'll watch it with her sometimes. We watch it. I like them. I'm secure enough in my manhood to admit that. I could like some Hallmark movies, right? And sometimes we watch together. You know, almost all of the Hallmarks, they're about dating relationships, right? People finding someone, right? Almost all of them are about that. But what I found is a certain pattern, right? For certain, in the Hallmark movie, as the people, right, they notice each other, definitely it's going to happen. At some point, one of them has to make the first move. One of the people, either the guy or the gal, has to make the first move, has to be willing to put it out there first, have to be willing to say how they really feel. Because, right, I don't know how many times we've heard that with the shows. It's like someone, friend says, have you told them how you feel, right? It's like, you got to put it out there. You got to take the risk and put it out there. You got to go first. God asks us a big thing. Not messing around. He said, I don't want a little part of your heart. I don't just want a part of your heart. I don't want most of your heart. I want all of it. I want your whole heart. Not just part, all. But he says, because I have gone first. I have put it out there first to you. I have taken that step, not holding anything back. I have put my whole heart out there to you first. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God has given his whole heart to us, every part. He gave his most precious thing to us, his Son Jesus, knowing that Jesus was going to suffer, knowing that he was going to have to pour out the wrath and the judgment upon his very own Son, because he wanted you. He wanted relationship with you. He wanted an intense, intimate, personal relationship, love relationship with you. So he put it all out there first. Everything. And Jesus followed up. Jesus followed up and he says, and not only that, I'm committed to loving every area of your life, the good and the bad, the light and the dark, even the very black things, I'm committed. Hebrews 4:15, this high priest, talking about Jesus of ours, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of them. Jesus faced all of them. Jesus experienced and wanted to experience everything that we experience, the good and the bad and the ugly and the sinful. He faced all of them. All of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Jesus wanted to experience it all because so we and you can know he loves every part of you. And he wants all of your heart. He wants you to give everything to him. And he knows and he understands, and he carried it on the cross upon his shoulders when he took on our sin, all of it. Because he wants to love all of you. And he wants you to give all of you to him. You know, I'm going to just close with having someone come up, and it's Katia Harris. And because she just shared, she's going to just share a brief story, testimony of her experiencing the heart of the Lord. And I wanted her to share because this is what happens. This is what happens, an example of what happens when we give our whole hearts to the Lord. So, Katia, why don't you come up? I just asked her, I just texted her last night at like 10:30 at night. So, I did that to, because I wanted you not to get nervous, not to overthink it. So, yeah. So, why don't you just share, Katia? I know you shared with me, I heard your story of you encountering with the Lord. So, why don't you just give a little background and share?
Hi. So, I'm my husband's Nigel. So I'm trying to gather how I'm gonna start. So I was not born or I was not raised Christian, and so I was saved about 10, 11 years ago, and, but my whole life, my dad wasn't really, he was a good dad. Not a great dad. I think he was a good dad. I think he just wasn't, he was never, you know, he never said the words, I'm proud of you or I love you. And so those words were never said to me, so I was never really familiar with those words. And so I took, last fall, I took Pastor Barry's Learning to Hear God's Voice. And it was very life-changing, I think, because, you know, I became a Christian, but I never really thought I'm going to ask certain things to God, like, how do you see me, or how do you, you know, do you love me, like, all these things that we never think of, because when we want to talk to God, really, we pray, right? We pray about people, about situation, and things like that, so I never really thought, well, I'm going to ask God, do you love me, or how do you see me? Are you, you know, these personal questions, these relationship questions. Mm-hmm. And so I did, and so I took the class, and it really got me to open up to God and really ask him, how do you see me? And so I took the class, and a lot of times, so I would write down in my notebook what I would hear from him when I talked to him. And a lot of time it was, you need to trust me, or trust me. And it was always trust me, in different ways. It was very direct, straightforward. And so we shared in class, and you know, a lot of people had beautiful responses, like, you know, I love you so much, like just all these beautiful things. And I'm like, but God only talks to me very directly. And it was always like, trust me. Like, why don't you trust me? And things like that. And I trust him. I just didn't put him first. And so I was putting all these other things first, and I was not familiar with how a father should really. I didn't know I was going to cry, but I knew I was going to cry. How a father should talk to their daughter, because I never thought this was a normal thing. And so so then he was always saying, trust me and trust me, and he was very direct and the whole time. And so one time I was working, and of course I put work above God. And so that's one of the things that I need to not do. And so I was working on the computer, and my husband comes to me, and that was towards the end of the class, the whole session. And he comes to me, and he sits next to me, like, on the floor, and he's like, hey, like, you haven't said anything about the class. Like, do you want to tell me about it? So I went to get my notebook, and I looked at it, and it said, and as I was reading everything, I noticed that all he was saying was, trust me. Like, again, he was very direct, trust me, and all these things. But I still, in my notebook, it didn't really say, he said he loves me, but it was very, he just was very direct with me. And not so, you know, loving. And I don't know if it was because of my earthly father being so never really showing that kind of love. And so I thought that's how, you know, he was. But at that moment when I was reading everything to my husband, I was reading all this stuff and it was very repetitive, but then I right away, you know, I was reading this stuff, but I was working at the same time, and right away I just felt him saying that he loves me and that he was very proud of me for everything. And it was kind of the first time I just, like, really heard him. And I've never really heard him this clear before saying that. And so, yeah, it just kind of happened randomly. So, yeah.
When you heard that, what was your reaction?
I just cried, like, I think I paused, so I was talking to my husband, and then I just paused and just, like, sobbed. I just cried. And I didn't really know what was happening, actually, at first. But it was the same feeling as the moment I got saved. So, yeah, it was a good feeling.
Thanks, Katie. Thank you. I just want to bless Katia for the courage to come up and share her story. And so, Lord, thank you. I know you're very, very proud of Katia for sharing about her experience of her heart being blessed by your heart. And so, Lord, the love that you spoke to her, that she experienced, would you increase that all the more? Increase that all the more, Lord. That she would come to know how treasured, how valuable, how important, how special she is to you. And she might not just know that in her head, but she would experience that in her heart. So thank you, Lord. Bless Katia and bless all those around her because of what you're doing in her life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. That's why the Lord wants us to give our whole heart to him. He wants you to know his love for you in the fullness of every part of your heart. And so he invites you to do that. He welcomes you to do that. And if you've never received Christ, if you've never taken that first step, like Katia said when she first received Christ, that's the first step for you, is to do that. And if you want to do that, after service, you could just come on up and see one of us, or up here. We'll be up here, and you can do that, and we help you to do that, okay? But we're going to pray. I'm going to have the worship team. Why don't you worship team come on up? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you and your love and your desire for us to be in relationship with you is not an exclusive club, but your invitation is for all of us. so Lord, I pray you would see, help us open our eyes to see the treasure, the just awesomeness of who you are. Lord, that idea of going all in and being wholeheartedly devoted and surrendered to you will just seem like the most reasonable, best, most important thing for us to do. And so, Lord, continue to walk with us, as I know you will, to be able to give every part of our heart to you, that we might experience all that you have for us and all the love that you have for us. And so, Lord, I pray you would just touch each one here. Touch them with your heart, touch them with your love, touch them with your goodness, touch them with your blessing, and help each one to experience you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now we just want to express love back to you, our heart and gratitude back to you in worship. So thank you, Lord. So bless this time as we worship you in Jesus' name.